My message today is talking about Thanksgiving 2.0. Thanksgiving 2.0. And what does it mean to be truly thankful? Truly thankful. The first Thanksgiving was really about being thankful that they didn't die of starvation, because many did. You know, so I suppose if you never had enough to eat, then all of a sudden you do get some food to eat. I think that'd be something to be really thankful for. Personally, I like it when I get to a place of deep appreciation for something. But the problem is, it takes me a while to get to that place. I don't know about you, but I have so much. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I have no lack in my life, really. So my weakness or my problem that I'm trying to overcome, and that's why I'm really thought it'd be good for us all to do that 21-day of gratitude Bible plan together, is maybe we can learn from each other and learn how to not take things for granted. Now, fortunately, I don't take God for granted, amen? I hope nobody ever gets to that place where we do that. But I do know that in other areas of my life, I know I do. Now, Luke 17, verse 11 to 19 is what I want to share today. It's about the story of the 10 lepers. I know it's kind of a weird Thanksgiving message, but I think we'll get some things out of it. It says, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, meaning Jesus, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. As they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at the feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come to worship you today. We thank you so much for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be here. Holy Spirit, we just give you free liberty to have your way here today. Lord, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, and I want to yield to the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, looking at the story of the Samaritan, you know, 1 in 10 or 10% came back, right? You know, I kind of did an unscientific survey. Most of my surveys that I do are unscientific. And the other night, you know, we had a testimony time in youth group. And a lot of the kids came up, and about 10% did thank God. The rest thanked their friends and their, you know, family and stuff, which is good. You need to do that. But, you know, to me, Thanksgiving revolves around God, because that's where it starts. We're truly thankful, you know, for what Jesus Christ has done in our life. So we need to always maintain that position. Now, my first point I want to look at today is we're going to talk about the lepers in the fact that they were the in-between people, the in-between. You know, remember the Bible said there that they're in between Galilee and Samaria. So nobody really accepted them. Have you ever felt in your life that you never really fit in? You know, I have in times in my life. You know, I've been put in certain situations or circumstances, and I just felt out of place. I didn't feel really accepted. I didn't feel like people really cared about me. And see, the lepers were those kinds of people. Now, you know, leprosy was not a good thing to have, and that's why they were in between the two areas. Now, a little bit about the Samaritans I want to kind of mention is that the Samaritans were considered mongrel Jews in the fact that they had intermarried with the pagan cultures around them. And God had told the people of Israel to stay pure because he didn't want them chasing after other gods and other idols. But the Samaritans weren't like that, so all the Jews copped an attitude towards them. They thought they were better than the Samaritans. Now the thing is, when they got leprosy, you know, I guess the 9 Jews that had leprosy, I guess when you get yourself in that broken position, they accepted the Samaritan to be in one of their group. You know, I think there's groups out there for all of us, you know, that we can fit into, and I hope you feel like you're a part of our group if you're here today. Now, lepers had to keep their distance from other people. You know, they were contagious. And if you, you know, the leprosy could be spread by contact, they thought. And also, from the Jewish perspective, if you touch something unclean, you'd be considered unclean until there was a sacrifice for you. So Jews didn't really like to be considered unclean. How many would like that? Consider yourself unclean in life. You know what I mean? I don't think a lot of us would probably want to be considered that way. So it was kind of a dicey thing, and that's why when the lepers came to Jesus, they just didn't run right up to him in the beginning, because they might have been stoned and put to death. Lepers had to keep a distance. And there's people in life that sometimes feel that they have to keep a distance. And see, that's the lie of the devil. What he wants to try to bring into people's life to make them feel that they're unworthy or they don't fit in. Now, I've never had leprosy that I know of. I had some other childhood diseases, you know, that I don't want to go into right now. But I did get one as a kid, and I think probably maybe some of you have had that too. Did anybody ever get cooties as a kid? Do you know what that is? You know, kids would come up and they would touch you. And when they touched you, you got cooties. And the only way you could get rid of cooties is to go and touch somebody else. You know, it was kind of a goofy game as you look back at it as an adult. You know, it was really dumb. But kids did it, right? But there was another form of cooties that I didn't like. Because I remember, especially when I got up to the Lincoln Center in junior high, is when things get really mean. You know what I mean? Sometimes. That some people would designate certain people that were different as having cooties. And they would even call them that name. And that's just wrong. That's just mean. When people do those sort of things to other people, just to make them, just because they don't fit in. And what happens is when we get that feeling, you know, they would feel excluded, unwanted, and unloved. And see, that's something that we can go through, because the lepers felt that. And I think there's some times in our life when we feel this way too. Maybe you've never been accepted into the family you married into, or maybe at work, or maybe with different people because where you was raised. You know, we're a church on the other side of the tracks, you know what I'm saying? You know, so sometimes we may not be accepted, I guess. I don't know. And I just know that God has a lot of great things that he wants to do in our life, and he wants to make a difference. And we need to be accepting. See, what happened in my life is that Jesus came along. Or really, I came along to him. And see, all those things of maybe where I perhaps didn't feel accepted, or that things was, you know, maybe going bad in my life, when I came to him, all of a sudden, he melted that unwantedness away out of my life, where I kind of felt like I finally fit in somewhere. Because when Jesus said that he had to, when he healed them, they had to go show themselves to the priest, because that was stipulated in the Old Testament. Because if you were considered unclean, the only way you could be admitted back into society is that you had to go to the priest, and the priest made the final decision. And that priest made that decision if you're clean or if you're good enough to intermingle with people again, or if he said you're not good enough, hey, you weren't good enough. I don't think anybody on earth should have that kind of power. Amen? You know, I think God is the one who wants to make us what we feel in. But when they came to Jesus, you know, the nine, they kept going, but only one came back. And what's interesting, it was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. He was considered somebody who didn't fit in. He was looked down upon. He was called names. And he knew that when he went to the priest would probably never accept him or consider him clean because he was a mongrel Jew. But what he did is he went to Jesus. And Jesus accepted him. And that's something that we need to hold on to. That no matter where you've been or what you've done, you come to the feet of Jesus and he will accept you. And you will be a part of his family. And that's a promise that God has for us. And when he came back, the Bible says that he came back with a loud voice. He got excited about it. I remember when I got saved, I got excited about it. And see, life had been so cruel to him because he was an in-between person. He wasn't accepted here. He wasn't accepted there. But what happened that day when he was healed, Jesus had taken him from being an in-between to being in the middle. in the middle of God. And that's where you and I need to get to in our walk with Him. We need to be right in the middle of God and where He wants us, because that's the place of safety and that's a place of security. And that's how we need to be in our life. The next thing I want to look at is the idea of what I mentioned. The name of the message is Thankfulness 2.0. What does it mean? To me, there's thankful and then there's really thankful. And I experience both these emotions. To me, it's hard to appreciate what we feel we deserve. You know, we live in a society where we feel that we deserve a lot of things just because we're born. Now, there is a few things that we do deserve, but primarily, if we get that attitude that we feel we deserve everything, it's going to take us out of the area of thankfulness. And we're not really going to experience the kind of thankfulness and gratitude that God wants us to have. Because when we have that, that's going to open a lot of doors. I love open doors. Have you ever come up to a door that you know you had to go through, but that silly thing was locked? And no matter what you did, you didn't have the key. You couldn't get in, and you know, and no matter how much you rattled it, and nobody come to that door. But I believe that thankfulness is a key that will open the blessings of God to our life. And that's the attitude that we need to develop. See, to me, thanksgiving can be measured by the level of importance that we place on people or things. And, you know, I think we all have kind of a thing how we weigh out things in our life and what we do. You know, to me, the things that we take for granted, we know we should say that we're thankful for, to me, that's thankful 1.0. You know what I'm saying? 1.0. I mean, you know, sometimes when, you know, go around the Thanksgiving table, have you ever done that? Everybody go around before you eat. Everybody's hungry, you know. The food's getting cold. You know, and they say, well, you know, somebody says, well, you're not going to eat until you say what you're thankful for. You know, so everybody just says, I'm thankful for friends and I'm thankful for family. Next person. Thankful for friends, thankful for family. Next person. Thankful for friends, thankful for family. I'm thankful for those things, but man, think outside the box. You know, there's other things out there. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, most people just say they're thankful for family and friends, probably because you're sitting around them right now. You know what I mean? If you didn't say you're thankful for them, they would be mad at you. But, I mean, that's just basic thankfulness. You know, that's just, but to me, Thanksgiving 2.0 is what we need to get to, and that's being thankful for things that we just can't live without, things that's in our life that are really important. You know, that's where God comes in, as well as, you know, people and things in our life that we just can't live without. You know, somehow we need to figure out how we can move from the 1.0 to the 2.0 stage, from what we take for granted to what really fills our tank, because there's things in this life that only can fill our tank. Have you ever lived life with an empty tank? You know, I have. You know, you're just depleted. You know, you're run down. You know, things of this world, maybe work or people or family. I mean, we're coming into a stressful time, I know. Some people don't look forward to going seeing family at Thanksgiving or at Christmas, because sometimes it brings back some bad emotions or maybe some hurt and some pain. Maybe they don't get along with one of the other people, and so they stay on opposite sides of the room. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you can't say amen, say oh my, right, on that one. You know, it's true. Them things kind of happen from time to time. But we need to keep our tank full. You know, I thank God that somebody created a gas gauge. You know what I mean? Of course, I'd push the limit. To me, E meant enough, you know, a lot of times. And what I would do when I lived in Denver, Kearney, Nebraska was halfway. And I had an El Camino. I can't remember how many gallons was in my tank. But I, as I look back, I just can't believe I would think that way, but I was in my 20s at the time. But, you know, I would not stop till I made it to Kearney. I would be driving down I-80, and I'd be looking at that gas gauge, and it would be on E. And I still got about 10, 15 miles to go, and I'm just praying that I make it. And there's no reason for that kind of stress. But I would do it because I thought I had to beat my last time's time, you know what I mean? I would time myself from the time I left Denver to the time I made it home. I'd always try to shave a few minutes off, you know? But, you know, it's just crazy. But I would allow my tank to go on E. But I think sometimes when we live life, we allow our tank, because in our personal soul or in our spirit, we don't have a gauge we can look at, you know what I mean? You can't really tell when you're getting empty by, you know, maybe looking on the outside. But deep inside, we can tell when our gauge is getting a little empty, can't we? We can tell, you know, when we're running out. Maybe, you know, there's things in our life that have just grinded us down so that we don't have anything left, and we don't have people that's filling our tank. And see, that's what we need to do. We need to have people in our life that put gas in our tank to build us up and not put us down, to make us better and not make us worse, because that's what God really has for our life. You know, you just can't put any kind of liquid in your gas tank. You got to have to put the right thing. And to me, a thankful heart is what makes our spiritual engine run on all cylinders. You know, and we need that in our life. So hopefully you're practicing gratitude and you have people around you. You know, I think we get thankful when we give credit where credit's due. A lot of times we don't, you know, give credit enough. You know, I give credit to God. You know, I'm so thankful from where He brought me from. I was wandering through life, not maybe heading the way that I needed to. You know, my original goal in my 20s was to live to 30 and live hard, you know what I mean? If I make it to 30, that's good enough. I'm glad I passed that date, you know what I'm saying? I'm double that now, I'm 60, you know? But I'm glad I made it to there. But see, we have different ways of looking at things. But see, I didn't know God, but once I met God, I found out what really life is so all about, and it's so precious. You know, one benefit, it took the fear of death away, but by doing that, it made me so I could really live. I could really live for God. I could have that experience of what it means for a all-loving, almighty God to live inside of my heart. Also, you know, we give credit to the people around us. You know, my wife's one, and there's other people in my life that build me up and not tear me down. You know, I just can't believe that some people like me. I mean, I'll be honest sometimes. I'm not the easiest person to live with. I know I've gotten better. I think I've just been more exhausted, you know, so I haven't been, you know, as on the edge. But I'm the type of person, I'm just fired up. I'm always going for something, always doing something. So I live intensely. You know, I need to live intentionally and not intensely all the time. But I've kind of chilled out a little bit, especially as the kids are raised. You know, maybe the kids stressed me out now that I look back at it. Huh. I just now put that together. And also, you know, God's blessings in our life. I thank God for stuff. I got some stuff. I don't have as much stuff as a lot of people, but I got enough stuff. You know what I mean? You know, I thank God for some of the stuff we have. I thank God for indoor plumbing. I don't know about you. I've been in countries. That's not an option. You know? And when I was a little kid being raised, my grandparents down in Moravia, they never got indoor plumbing until I was probably 10 or 11 years old. I still remember going out to the outhouse. Man, nobody can hold. I mean, it helped me hold my breath a lot longer. I became a better swimmer at that, I guess, you know, but them old outhouses are pretty rough in the summertime. You know, so I thank God for some of the things we have. I thank God I can drive and not have to walk everywhere. You know, I remember a story about a family, kind of a family, but it's really a bunch of friends, you know. Some people do a Friendsgiving. Maybe you've done that. You know, maybe you couldn't make it back home. I remember one time in Denver, you know, Denise and I, we didn't make it home one Thanksgiving because it was a pretty far drive, over 12 hours or so. And one year we stayed out there, and it was just her and I, and there was a lady that used to dig stuff out of our dumpster. You know, we had noticed her several times. And so we set a place for her that day. And, you know, we went out, we went looking for her. We never did find her. But, you know, it was kind of a Friendsgiving, and I remember a story about a Friendsgiving where people went around, like I said earlier, where every person would take turns saying what they're thankful for, and they said, I'm thankful for my friends, thankful for my family, da-da-da, went around the table. But one of them only said, I'm thankful for my friends. And then one of the people there just kind of piped up and says, well, how come you're not, why aren't you thankful for your family? I noticed you didn't say that. And the person said, my family doesn't accept me. And so everybody at the table, it rearranged their thinking about what family is and how important it is. Because I think we take some of that for granted. And they kind of diffused the situation. They said, well, you know, we'll be your family. And everything was good after that. But it wasn't that this person was unlovable. It's just that their family was incapable of love. And sometimes, you know, God forbid, some people are born into that situation. And they can't help it. It's not their fault. But thank God you can have a church family. You can have a family that can be a part of your life. We're not perfect here. But yet we want to be a part of your family, a part of your life. We want to fill your tank if we can. And see, that's our goal here. Last scripture I want to look at is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this is telling us about in everything. You know, we give God thanks in everything and not for everything. And we need to really straighten that out. Because a lot of people will start thanking God for their problems. Because God's trying to teach them something. Now, without going too much into my religious persuasion, I serve a good God, but we fight a bad devil. You know what I'm saying? And I know that the devil brings things to my life. He tries to bring roadblocks and things. So I'm not thankful for everything that's happened in my life because I've had some bad things happen in my life. You know, but I'm thankful that God was there because in that problem, I was not alone. That God was with me and he strengthened me and he helped me to get through that situation and brought me through to the other side. You know, I don't think, you know, these people need to be thankful that they had leprosy so they could be healed. You know, I've heard people say, I thank God for my new car. And they said, well, I got, you know, but they had to get into an accident to get it. You know what I'm saying? We don't serve a God like that. That would make you have a car wreck so you get a new car. You know, we need to see God for who he is, that he's a good God. Now, I'm not thankful that sometimes I felt unwanted so I could be accepted, but I'm thankful that I'm accepted. You know, all these bad things that come into our life, we need to know, you know, where they come from. And so if we're to the persuasion that we, you know, to me it'd be hard to ask God to heal you if God made you, if you believe God made you sick. You know what I'm saying? A matter of fact, I use this philosophy, you know, when I did mission work overseas. I ran into people like Muslims and different things. I still remember one guy one time. In Greece, anybody can buy a lot of medicine over there. You don't really have to have a prescription from the doctor. It's kind of a wild thing. But anyway, we were standing outside, and all of a sudden, this Muslim guy come out of the pharmacia, or pharmacy. And I said, oh, how's it going? He says, I'm taking some pills. And I said, oh, good. I says, and he says, we started talking about God, and he said, God made me sick. I said, oh. I said, why? He spoke English so we could converse. And he said, he's trying to teach me something. Well, I said, if God's trying to teach you something, why are you taking medicine for? To me, you're being disobedient to God. If you believe God made you sick to teach you something, you should not take medicine to make you well. You should just take it, man. Just be sick as long as you can be sick until God decides to heal you. Well, after a little bit of conversation, it kind of sunk in a little bit. And he started to look at God in a different way. That God is a good God, and we could be thankful, like the leper, the Samaritan who came back and started praising God with a loud voice and fell at the feet of Jesus. Because to me, it's hard to ask for somebody for something, you know, if they gave you something bad. To me, thanksgiving creates a life-giving culture or atmosphere in our life. And Psalms 104, and ironically, is a scripture that Christian shared today. You know, to me, thanksgiving is how we enter God's gate. You know, I talked about that door, and I said, you got to have the key to get in. See, when we enter God's gates, you know, we need to come in being thankful. You know, it's hard to be negative when you're around positive attitudes, so I hope you surround yourself with positive things. You know, thanksgiving needs to be a verb, not just a noun. Thanksgiving, not just a date on the calendar, but it's something how we live our life. It's an action that we have to have. It's a purposeful action. To me, it needs to be spoken out. You know, I wish I could get credit for all the nice things I thought about my wife. I think some nice things. Hope you do too about your spouse. But I don't get any credit for the things I think about from my wife. I only get credit for the things that I say from her. We need to speak out thanksgiving. We need to speak it out to the world around us and let them know what's really in our heart. And it needs to be spoken from a sincere heart. As we head towards Turkey Day or Thanksgiving, let's take something from the page of an in-between outcast. Let's glorify God with a loud voice and fall at Jesus' feet and really give him thanks. Let's pray.